Are you tired of being told what to think and how to act? Well, you are not alone. In case you haven't realized it, you have an internal GPS. It knows all you need to know about how to live your life. So it's about time you stopped letting the media and the government tell you what is true for you. In fact, it is exactly that time. It's time to think for yourself. And here to make sure you're doing just that is your host, mediator, author, and lawyer, Carol Gold.
Hi, it's Wednesday, January 12th. I'm Carol Gold, and welcome to Think for Yourself. I want to talk a bit about fear. And the reason I want to talk about it is because it's everywhere and because it's being used deliberately to manipulate us. Now, I've referenced this before in prior podcasts, but I really want to go into it today. And what triggered this for me was an article I saw this morning about the World Economic Forum. If you don't know who that is, they're the group that meet every year in Davos, Switzerland, where the World Economic Forum is headquartered. And they are the leaders of nations and the wealthiest of CEOs and technology giants who literally get together and decide the fate of the world. They move economies or shut them down. They have tremendous global power, and they are clearly the elites. So why did the article trigger my thinking about fear? Well, it's because Davos just published its global risks report for 2022. And some of the risks, not all, but some of the risks that they laid out that we should be concerned about going into 2022, and if this doesn't make you fearful, I don't know what will, are cyber attacks, militarization of space, extreme weather events, ecosystem collapse, social divisions, wars, and coronavirus. All of that is fear-based. I'm not saying that we don't prepare and shouldn't prepare for what we think is coming in life. I mean, I'm a bit of a prepper myself. I believe in being prepared, but we're way past the preparation aspect of looking at our world. We live in a constant state of being jacked up by fear, by the media, and ultimately at the top of this pyramid, people like the people who show up in Davos, heads of nations, corporate leaders, who have agendas that we can't even fathom. You know, I'm thinking of Elon Musk this week. He's done so much that is admirable in one sense, right? We have SpaceX and we have the Tesla, and he's outspoken and he's an interesting character. But he also just opened a showroom in the province of China where the concentration camps are and the slave labor camps are that are attempting to annihilate the Uyghur population, the Muslim population in China. These are the kinds of people, Elon Musk and others, who are at the top of this pyramid that are driving not only where we are, but a projection onto us of what our reality is like. And again, it's super fear-based. Why is that of so much interest to me? Well, for several decades, I have been podcasting. I've been on land-based radio, terrestrial radio. I've written essays. I've given live seminars. And I do my podcast here. And I've written a book on managing change without fear. I have spent my entire adult life looking at fear from every conceivable angle. And I want to share with you what I know about fear. First of all, fear is a frequency, just like love is a frequency. And in fact, there are only two emotions. I will get back to frequency in a minute, but let me just add, there's only two emotions, love and fear. That's it. Every negative emotion is a derivative of fear. Every positive emotion is a derivative of love. It just matters where on that spectrum you fall. If you are terrified, you're fearful. If you have slight anxiety, you're also fearful. But slight anxiety is way down the spectrum on the fear frequency, whereas terror is very high. So you get what I'm saying when I say that every negative emotion is a derivative of fear. The reason that I say it's a frequency is because everything we say, everything that goes out into the universe in terms of sound, is on a frequency. And fear has a frequency. So does love. I just want to get back to this concept of fear. You know, we are frightened of things normally, even when life is going well, somewhere on that fear spectrum, even if it's just mild anxiety, we all have some form of anxiety, let's say, about change, some form of fear about change. Change always brings up resistance and some degree of fear, because as humans, we're more comfortable with what we know than what we don't know. So the unknown, which is always on the other side of change, is a cause for anxiety for most people. Now, people who understand that, and people who have power, and people who have an agenda, know that when someone is frightened, they are often, in a sense, immobilized. Fear keeps you from thinking clearly. It keeps you from taking correct action. It is very distracting, to put it mildly. And so these people who daily feed us stories that are intended to frighten us are doing it for the simple reason that if we are immobilized, we are, in a sense, like we currently are, isolated from other people. When you're fearful, you tend to not reach out to others. When you're fearful, you tend to withdraw within yourself. And so when you're frightened, one could say that you self-isolate, emotionally, certainly. Well, COVID, as we all know, has been dealt with by isolating us physically. So why would people in power want us to be isolated, both emotionally and physically? And I think the answer is because of what the difference between fear and courage is. Fear is crippling and it's infectious. What do I mean by infectious? Well, when something is deemed to be an infection, it's an invasion. It's an invasion of an organism's body tissue by disease-causing agents. Think about that. The invasion of an organism's body tissues by disease-causing agents. That's exactly what fear is. Fear is a dis-ease, D-I-S-E-A-S-E. It puts us in dis-ease. Fear is a dis-ease-causing agent, okay? Now, let me contrast that with what courage is. Courage is a choice. It's not an invasion. Courage is a choice and a willingness to confront whether it's agony or pain or danger or uncertainty or intimidation. It's the choice to confront those things with a sense of self-possession, confidence, resolution, and in some cases, even bravery. So let me narrow that distinction. Fear is an infection. Love, the other emotion that I mentioned, is connected to courage. Fear invades each one of us individually. It infects us individually. Whereas courage spreads by example from one of us to another of us as we have contact. That's the key here. The reason that they want us to be fearful and be isolated, to both self-isolate and to be isolated by mandate, by policy, is because if we are not connected, we will remain infected with the fear that is being showered upon us every single day from every single direction. However, if we are courageous, then courage is a choice, right? It's a choice we can make, and it spreads from one person to another, but it spreads based on connection. It's the opposite of isolation. So think about it. People like Jesus or Gandhi or Martin Luther King, they led by example, they had personal courage, and the people who were drawn to them in mass, those people were all connecting on the level of their coming together to support the courage of the one individual, and through their connection, the courage is contagious. That's what happens. It is attractive and it is desirable when one person exhibits it, and it's admirable when one person exhibits it. But when you exhibit it with certainty, you become a magnet for others. And when others show up, they spread it one to the other through contact. That's why we're in emotional and physical isolation. It's deliberate. Yes, I'm taking that all the way back to those people in Davos who literally get together. And I mean, there are others, right? There's Wall Street. There's CEOs of corporations. I mentioned Musk earlier, Elon Musk. You know, we have to be careful. We tend to see people in black and white. And if you see them as all good, you have a tendency not to want to see or know anything about them that could shatter your perspective of them. So there are a lot of people who admire Elon Musk and think he's remarkable, an innovator, and an entrepreneur. That doesn't excuse him for deliberately opening a Tesla store in the province where the Chinese are committing genocide. And doing it knowingly, especially after the U.S. Congress just passed an act that prohibits the importation of any products made with slave labor from that province into the United States. He did it regardless of the act that was just passed. He's not alone. My point is, there are people in positions of power and who have great wealth around this world currently, literally around the world, who are united in what I believe is a determination to create two classes, one class that holds the power and the money, and one class that serves the people with power and money. I mean, if you look at the World Economic Forum's, I think it's by 2020, I'm sorry, by 2030, Klaus Schwab, who is the head of the World Economic Forum, said you'll own nothing and you'll be happy about it. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy about it. Well, if I own nothing, I still have to live somewhere. And if I don't own property, then I have to rent property. And if I rent property, who am I renting it from? Because that's who owns it. And so when they say you'll own nothing and be happy, somebody has to own the stuff. Somebody has to own the physical material things. And that's why I say they are shooting for two classes of people, the people in charge and the people who serve them. And I think throughout human history, there have been multiple examples of why that system doesn't work, why it ends in revolution. Go all the way back to Pharaoh. Either it ends in revolution or it ends in disaster. It ends in collapse. It ends, go back to Pharaoh, go back to ancient Rome. Look at every form of socialism and fascism and communism that has ever existed on the planet. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. It doesn't end well. We're on that brink. And by the way, we're not on that brink because a handful, relatively speaking, of people charged the U.S. Capitol on January 6th unarmed. Unarmed. Not one had a weapon. Okay? You cannot commit an insurrection without a weapon. You can't take over a government without a country without a weapon. Yes, it was a bad thing to do, the people who broke into Congress. It was not a smart thing. And I'm not sure we yet know all the details. And they should have consequences proportionate to what they did. And since no one's been charged with insurrection and no one's been charged with treason, that's not the kind of deliberate takeover that I'm talking about. I'm almost talking about a silent takeover, a silent division of classes. And I say that because those people on January 6th got nowhere. But I will tell you that the policies that have both interrupted the supply chain, that have cut off the XL pipeline, that have kept us isolated from one another for, you know, almost 2 years now, for policies that have caused inflation to the point where everybody's feeling it, to the point where this year the average family will spend $5,000 more just on the basics, on food and heat and fuel for their automobiles because of inflation. Those are the kinds of actions and acts which will create ultimately that two-class system that I'm referring to. So what do we do about it? Well, let me go back to there are only two emotions, love and fear. How do you move from fear to love? That would be the trick, right? If we're all so frightened, how do we move to that other emotion that has all those positive aspects to it? And what I have taught for decades is the following. Every cell in our body has both memory and intelligence. Every cell in our body has intelligence and memory. And that has to do with the structure of DNA. But suffice it to just say, every cell has intelligence and memory. If you are frightened, what you want to do is move from fear to love. How do you do that? Well, you need to create a crack in the density of fear. Because when you create a crack in the density of fear, you allow light in. You allow the energy of love and the frequency of love, which is a higher frequency, the frequency of love and the frequency of light into or in through that crack. How do you do that? You know, this is a very interesting thing, and I'm going to run long here, but what I'm about to tell you is similar to how you prevent COVID from replicating in your body. So I'm going to digress a moment and say the following. The spike protein needs a way to get into the cell. It attaches, but it needs a way in. If there's zinc in the cell, the spike protein can't get in. Zinc prevents it from entering the cell. It needs to get in the cell because viruses are parasites. They can't live on their own. They can only replicate. Well, they can't replicate unless they have a host. And the host becomes your cell. That's what they're looking for. If they can't get in the cell, then the virus cannot replicate in your body and it cannot do harm. Zinc, however, can't get in the cell either. It needs a way in. So taking zinc isn't good enough. But when you take hydroxychloroquine or you take quercetin, they create an opening in the cell that allows zinc to enter. And when zinc enters, the virus cannot. Kind of like darkness can exist in the presence of light. So let me get back to fear and love. Every cell in your body has intelligence and memory. When you're frightened, do something you love. I know that sounds crazy, but it works. I've been doing it for decades, and so have students of mine. When you're frightened, do something you love. Why? Because when you do something you love, those cells in your body with memory and intelligence recall the emotion you feel when you do that thing you love. You've done it before. You've been happy when you did it. And the cells remember. And the moment you do something you love, you begin to elevate your own frequency. You create that crack in the density of fear by doing something you love. Now, I don't care if it's petting your dog or skiing down a mountain or climbing a tree or playing music or baking cookies or meditating. I don't care what it is. Playing a musical instrument. I don't care what it is. And I know the trick is, the hard part is being aware enough that you're frightened to interrupt your own trajectory of getting deeper and deeper into fear and saying, oh my gosh, I get this feeling. I know where it's going. I need to do something I love. Because it's exactly the same. When you do something you love, it's exactly the same as the hydroxychloroquine, the quercetin, creating a pathway into that cell so that the spike protein cannot invade it and replicate in it. I didn't intend to draw an analogy to COVID, quite honestly, when I started the podcast or when I was talking about this earlier, but it came to me as I was speaking. So remember, all it takes is to create an opening of light, an opening of intelligence. Fear only exists in ignorance. It exists in the absence of light, in the absence of intelligence. It can only exist in pure darkness. It can only exist in the absence of light. It can only exist in the absence of intelligent information. It cannot exist in the presence of light and knowledge. So let me end with this. I reference often the sculpture that's in my office that is a quote from Joan of Arc. And the quote is, I am not afraid. I was made for this. This is my mantra. I live my life by that quote. I am not afraid. I was made for this. Make it your mantra. Make it your motto. We the people, each one of us, now must stand up for what is true, for what we know to be absolutely absurd, for what we know to not make sense. Each one of us now has to plant a stake in the integrity of our own being, in the integrity of what matters and what is good and what is true. There is no leader coming along at the moment, but if we each stand firmly in the truth of what we know, we will connect with others who stand firmly as well. And it's that connection, it's that contagion of courage that will allow us to not only combat, but to totally annihilate the environment in which fear and those who are trying to control us with it can prosper and thrive. You can handle this. We can handle this. Be not afraid. You and I, we were made for this. Thanks for listening. I'm Carol Gold, and I'll be back here again on Friday. Until then, please think for yourself.
Carol thanks you for spending your valuable time with her. It is her mission to empower you to remember how smart and capable you are. Be sure to check out Carol's website, carolgold.com. That's Carol with an E, gold.com. Please leave a review and subscribe here so you'll be alerted to Carol's next podcast. Until then, above all else, remember, it's time to think for yourself.